So as I said before, we will be having a bit of interaction, so we will have the microphone there. Now, we're not going to turn the camera around, so you won't get on film. Unless you really want to, you can jump in front and say what you want to say. But we will have the microphone there just in case. Go from there. So today we're going to be, as I said, looking at Mark, looking at the next part in Mark. And Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. So if you have got your Bibles there, play along. Otherwise, listen to my wonderful voice and go from there. So Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no one other but him. To love him with all your heart, and all your understanding, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices." Let us pray. Let us open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we journey along this book of Mark and the teachings of Jesus and the snapshots of Jesus that we get there, Lord, open our hearts and minds to something new or to a refresher that we might have needed. And Lord, be that again tonight as we work through this passage and learn from each other during this time. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, I find some odd things happening to me as I get older in life, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. Has any of you ever got up to a place and then gone out to the kitchen and then got to the kitchen and worked out exactly, forgotten why you got there in the first place? All the time it's good. I thought it was just because I'm getting old and the grey hairs are numbering more and more in my head now. But it happens all the time. It could be the fact where, like the other day, Linda asked me to get her a drink. I got to the kitchen, opened the cupboard, saw a packet of Tim Tams, had one or four, got back with my drink for myself, and she goes, "Oh, where's my drink?" I said, "Yeah, here's it is." So I got out of that one. Okay, it was good. But it happens to us all the time. And then I'm sure this happens to you. You go to the computer and you think, "Oh, look, I'll get a video for definition or something like that." You go onto YouTube, you start looking at their suggested posts for other things, and 2.5 hours later you're still watching cat videos or watching How to Train Your Dragon on something like that, and then you've forgotten what you're going to do first. Now it happens to all of us. Sometimes the things that we want to do we forget about very easily, and I think that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, and the two commandments, the two greatest commandments that Jesus was talking about here. See, it's like with our faith sometimes. Sometimes we have the great ambitions and the great focus that we want to do things, but we sometimes lack the basic things. Sometimes lack the things we're supposed to be doing all the time. See, in this Bible reading that we read today, Jesus is reminding about that. And so Jesus gave us the fundamental laws and commandments to do this sort of stuff. But I want to set the scene a little bit first. As I said, we've been journey on in Mark, and so I just want to set the scene of what's been happening. At the end of chapter 11, Jesus is in the temple courts and he begins teaching. So we're not too sure whether he's still in the temple courts or he's moved along a little bit, but there's a crowd around him, and crowd of everyone, and temple priests, scholars, everyone's getting around him and asking him questions at this point in time. And so he's gaining some popularity around the crowds. And also some notoriety as well. The fact that at this time, there's some people out there that the priests are looking at ways and thinking, "Oh, we don't like this guy anymore. We want to kill him. We want to get rid of him. He's taking too much attention away from everything." So we're not too sure when this teacher asks a question, what exactly are his motives behind it. It could be the fact that he wants to trick Jesus up in other areas of the gospel. There are people that use these questions to try and trick Jesus up, but we're not too sure, or he's generally asking him about this sort of stuff. Because the text says that this man was noticing that Jesus had a good answer for everything. And so Jesus is rapidly, people are asking him questions, and Jesus is going, yep, he's a good answer for you. He's a good answer for you. And so he asks the question, what's the greatest commandment? Now, so the PowerPoint up there. Which is on? There we go. Still working there? Oh. In Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, there are 613 Jewish commandments in the Jewish law. And some of them include number 183, not to possess broken scales or incorrect weights. Number 153, not to eat a worm found in fruit. But there are some really good ones as well. 273 was do not slay an innocent person. Number 12 is learn the Torah and teach it. So learn the Bible and teach it. So these Jewish beliefs would have been read out and would have been learnt by the Jewish scholars and by the people that would have going along to the churches as well. These laws were at the heart of what the Jewish were believing. All 613 of them. So there would be often debates and times when people with scholars would be getting together and say, okay, which one's the greatest one of these? No, I think this one is. I think do not slay an innocent person. I think reading the Bible is. And so there were times, apparently, when they used to get together, have good theological debates about this sort of stuff. And so this guy, this teacher, wants to ask a question of Jesus. And so he responds by picking two out that aren't even close together on the number list. They're from different sections in there. And he picks it from... I'll go to the next one. I think you have to do it for me.
That's fine.
Yeah. The first one's from Deuteronomy 6. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then the next one is from Leviticus 19:18. Love the neighbor as yourself. So when Jesus pulls these two together... he's pulling from different sections of the Bible or different sections of the Torah back then. So Jesus says, first thing, love the Lord with all your God, love the Lord your God with all your strength, heart, soul, and mind, then love the Lord as your neighbor. Now the teacher's confounded by this. He said, yep, that's it. You've done well. You're right on the money, Jesus. Hey, that's better than all the burnt offerings, all better than eating a worm. Not allowed to eat a worm that's inside an apple or anything like that. He gets it. See, these two things are the foundations of our faith. That's why they started to grumble even more, because they knew that Jesus was right. They knew Jesus had said, you know, we've been looking over 613, but the two most prominent ones and some things that the others hang on are these two commandments here. So I want to look at these two commandments, what Jesus says. And so the first one comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 6. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command to thee this day shall be in thine heart. See, Jews would quote this every day as part of their prayers. This was a personal reminder for them that there was no other God apart from God and that they should love him with all his heart. See, most Christians would proclaim that God is in their heart and that God is first. They do love him. But how do they show that? And this is where I want to get through interaction, because I want to go through all of it and say, how do we love God with all our heart? Compared to how do we love our God with all our soul and mind and strength? Is it different? So, opening up to you guys, I've got some thoughts on here as well. How is loving God with all our heart? How do we show that? How do we do that? Yep.
I reckon part of it, at least, is using the overflow of our love of God in it. Shows it to God's people, and by showing love to God's people, we show love to God from our heart.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Pass it over.
I think that to love God with all our heart is about our inner thoughts as opposed to our outward actions. And so if our inner is loving God despite our outer perhaps failing or our mind failing on us, but within us we love God with all our heart. That's what that means.
I guess for me, it's the attitudes in which I worship God or obey His commands. Is my attitude towards loving Him, or is my attitude towards, oh yeah, I guess I have to, gotta give 10%, gotta go to church. No. Yeah, attitude.
I think it's along those lines as well, the authenticity of your heart and the fact, because I can say, hey, I love God, but without actually feeling it. And showing it's just empty words. And so when I feel that, when I feel a compelling within me, and hey, yeah, I love God, I want to spend time with Him, I want to do this, I want to do that, there's that real, that real urging in there. Real compassionate, real wanting to do something. And see, when we truly love God, we put Him first. And that'll be seen in everything we do. So going on next, how's all our soul? How's that seen in our soul?
My key one would be through worship, just giving like all of yourself over to Him during worship, to just let your connection with Him just flow with nothing to stop you. You're just there with yourself and Him.
For me, I think about kind of how there's, you know, there's the whole thing that we've got like a God, everyone has like a God-shaped sort of hole in them. But like that, you know, that I think that yearning that like all of us have for something like greater, and that sense of, just of, you know, that whole, the spiritual world. And obviously like us Christians, it's, you know, God fulfills that in us. But it's just... it's fulfilling that in God, not seeking after other things to fulfill that, but just spending time with God and to, so He can sort of feed that into you.
A combination of those things, I think it's really good. I think, and especially back in the biblical times, when I was talking about souls, talking about emotions. And that real longing, which both you guys are talking about there. And the fact that, you know, it's not just empty thoughts or anything like that. It's that whole really longing to be there and putting your emotions to it to get, you know, you weep when He's feeling weeping and you're crying when you read the text and see Him crying and praying at Gethsemane, you'd weep for Him and cry for Him. But really a sense of emotional sort of stuff there. My soul knows very well what He's feeling. And so the connections to worship is really good as well. The fact is that you do long, it takes you to that special place where inhibitions let go and you feel that connection. And so you're longing to draw closer to Him. So what about the next one? What about all our mind? How do you think that plays out? Loving God with all our mind.
So we use our mind every day for everything. So just involving God in all we do. So whether it be school, whether it be study, whether it be work, always just keeping God in mind and just like knowing that you're doing this for Him, you're serving Him and He's going to help you back.
Yep.
I really like this one. I think because of my analytical mind, I find it easier to think about this one. I'm not as much an emotional person, but it's so much filling your mind with the things of God rather than the things of this world. Filling your mind with scripture or with the lyrics of worship songs rather than the lyrics of other songs on the radio. or anything like that. Think about what is good and honourable and right, like it says elsewhere in the Bible.
I just wanted to add something to that, that, you know, sometimes we don't always feel like God might be particularly close to us. We can't really feel his presence. You know, we have kind of, you know, we all have a bit of a roller coaster in our spiritual journey. But the good thing about the mind is that we can you can get back into the Bible. You can just read all the truths in there and just be reminded that even though sometimes you might not, you know, feel God, but all his wonderful promises, and we know that he is there, and you can use your mind to just to... really rest in that and just to learn more about God. Like, it's so important to use your, you know, mind in your faith as well.
I like to use the example because it's in front of me every day at school. You have to have one One Direction fan and you have another One Direction fan, and what tells them apart is their passion towards it. They say they're both fans, they say they both love the band, but one person can name all the members, their pets and how many tattoos they have, and they've done all the research on it, and the other person, yeah, says, I know a few of their songs. So this other person has done what you guys have said, has spent the time to get to know them, to read about them, to watch the videos on them, to learn, to open their mind to what they have to say. So it is that sort of sense of saying, okay, I'm going to dedicate my time, I'm going to dedicate my mind to open myself to you to get there. And what about the last one? What about the strength, all my strength? Peyton?
So I think this is, I reckon, for me, more important. So when you're weak, he makes you strong. So in the sense of if you've had a hard week or a hard time, he knows you're there, he makes you stronger. And I just like that he knows he's going to be there for you. And, yeah, just that kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah.
I reckon for me, loving God with all my strength is very physical. Like, I'm gifted with how much I can do physically for people and for God. And so loving God with all my strength is putting all the other three into physical being, I suppose, actually doing it.
And as contrast, I'm not so physical, but giving what physical I have and giving what energy I have to pursuit of God. And I also put in strength of will, so my decision-making and am I choosing my ways and my choices, or am I bringing my choices to God and asking for his advice and seeking his will?
Just to quickly add, I'm pretty sure somewhere in the Bible it says something about only when you give all your strength to God can God then give his strength to you. Like, once you are fully weak, can then God go and support you? So in giving all our strength, then we're just inviting God in and having his strength to push us forward and run our lives, which is what we all want, which is basically every part of those. All four and combined is that God running our lives in every aspect.
I have that, as you guys are talking there, I have that vision of, at the gym, not that I go out that often, not at all much anymore, but, you know, when they used to have the weight training and someone's spotting behind it, and then it's almost like you have to do all the work yourself, you have to work there, but God's almost there helping you out and spotting you. When you need that extra strength, when you need that to do that sort of thing, he helps you out there, but you have to do the work yourself. You're not just going to do that for nothing. You have to push there. So it's the fact is a combination of what you guys said, the strength that you have to action, because it isn't just about the words and in our head and in our mind, our soul. It's a full body thing. And so that's what it is. And I love events like this because we can learn from each other. And as you guys alluded to, each of us is going to be probably stronger in one of these areas than the other ones. We might struggle in us. How do I work out? How do I love God with my emotions and mind? But I can easily do it with my strength, all the other way around. And so when we get together like this and we hear from other people, we can learn from each other. And that's really good. And so how, like, again, you guys think about it this week and think about, well, how do we show God that we love him with all our soul, mind, heart and strength there? And so, if I can get the next commandment up there, Jesse, it'd be really cool. The second commandment was from Leviticus 19:18. It said, "Thou shalt not avenge, not bear any grudge against the children of my people, but thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord." So this is a simple statement. And Jesus says that we are loved to love others as we are to love ourselves. We are to place others in the same position as we do ourselves. Now, it's kind of an interesting, in Western culture, this is a very interesting verse, I think. Because in Australian culture and Western cultures, we're not taught to love ourselves. We're not taught to think highly of ourselves. Now, that's the whole tall poppy syndrome. As soon as someone does show love for themselves, they're sort of seen as arrogant or cocky. But think about it for a second. We will always make sure we are well fed. We always make sure that we are well clothed. We always make sure that we have enough rest. We look after ourselves in such a way that we do care for ourselves. And we do love ourselves. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't do those things naturally. And so we also, as Christians, we are lucky to gain the perspective of how God sees us. So when I'm having a down moment, when I'm having a bad moment, I say, okay, God doesn't see me like how I see myself. God loves me, and therefore, hey, I love God, so that means I should love myself as well. So in today's society, we actually do love ourselves more than we actually know. And so Jesus is going to say, okay, love other people as you love yourself. Jesus is calling on the same love that we have for ourselves to love our neighbours, to make sure that they are looked after, that they are fed, that they are happy as we make sure that we are happy. Look at other people with the same love as we look upon ourselves. St. Teresa of Alba once said, "The nicest thing that we can do for our Heavenly Father is to be kind to one of his children. We are all God's children. We are all part of God's family. And we're all each other's neighbour. Whether you're sitting here, whether they're next door to us, whether they're sitting across from us from work or uni or school, everyone is each other's neighbour. See, God loves us dearly, and I know that when we bring a smile to the face of everyone we impart kindness to, it puts a smile on God's face as well. And we should be practicing and wanting to practice how we show love to other people. And I want to show a short video that I found there. So if you can show that other video there, it'll be really cool, Jesse.
So you did.
So obviously there are some easy ways that we can show neighbours that we love them. Some practical ways and some very thoughtful ways. And it doesn't have to always be something physical like that. It could just be sitting with them, listening to them, spending time with them. Or it could be someone that you won't see the results from, like giving money to someone else or giving money to the poor somewhere else. So we've all got different ways that we can think of on how we can show love to our neighbours. But like when I opened up this sermon and this message, the fact that so often we get too caught up in our Christian lives, we forget the basic things sometimes. We forget on how we actually love our God and how do we show that we love our God. And sometimes we forget how do we actually show our neighbours that we love them. And so when Jesus is commenting about this to these two commandments now and saying, hey, don't worry about all 613 of them, worry about these two. Sometimes for us, we've got to don't worry about all the other stuff that comes in our lives, all the other ministry stuff that gets thrown in our face, the other world stuff that gets thrown in our face. We've got to say, okay, let's stop, let's pause and say, how am I loving God? How do I show that I love God? And number two is, how do I show that I love my commandments? Or how do I love that I show my neighbours? It's not how do I love that I show my commandments, but that's what we need to be doing. So let us just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your example. We thank you for your teachings there, Lord. Lord, this week, challenge us to work out in our own lives how we love you. I want to thank you for each one of the people here tonight who've been able to share and who've been able to have thoughts regarding that, that we can learn from your people on how each of us learns and loves you there, Lord. And Lord, encourage us to find ways that we can love our neighbours, whether it be here, whether it be in the same country or across the world there, Lord. Create in us a new passion for those two things. For as you say, these are the greatest commandments of all there, Lord. Just pray these things in your name. Amen.